Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
In preparation for this evening and preparing the word for this evening, obviously I reflected on our theme of freedom, which has been the overarching theme for 2022. And one of those key points to freedom was me exploring the importance of biblical truth and the part it plays in a gospel of freedom. And as we unpack biblical truth, we see it plays a central part and role in providing freedom for us as Christians in our lives. And one piece of dialogue I want to draw from to, I suppose, present the title of this evening's message is from the book of John. And it's a dialogue between Christ and Pontius Pilate, who was obviously the governor of Judea in the day. So I want you to turn with me to John chapter 18. And if that slides up, that'd be great. So Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. By now my kingdom is from another place. But now my kingdom is from another place." Verse 37. "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am king. The reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews, gathered there, and said, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." So Pilate's cynical question brings us to the title of this evening's sermon, which is, "What is truth?" Historically, Pilate's question is not unique. We've been pursuing truth on an individual and collective level for as long as man has existed. Our legal system is predicated on the rule of law through establishing truth. We're fascinated with true crime, TV shows, and unpacking mysteries in the search of truth. Even one of the key lessons we learn as children is to tell the truth and the importance of honesty. We see even our infatuation with fake news and how frustrating fake news is to the news cycle these days. We all pursue truth on a fundamental level. It's part of our being. It plays a huge part in society and its foundation in our Judeo-Christian beliefs. But sadly, with many, truth has become subjective, the individual world of preference and opinion. Others may believe truth is a collective judgment, the product of cultural consensus, and still others abandon the concept of truth altogether, making it subjective. See, if you were to head to a university campus these days and ask the question, "What is truth?" you'd likely be laughed at or jeered at for asking an impossible question with limitless interpretation, most likely ending in some sort of circular debate. The ideology has been the breeding ground for the postmodernist skepticism we see today. But Christian or not, truth should matter to us as individuals and collectively as a whole. Prioritizing truth ensures we can grow and mature, learning from our mistakes. Truth makes social bonds for broader society. Equally, lying and hypocrisy breaks them. The Bible emphasizes truth a great deal. It's mentioned over 25 times just in the Gospel of John alone. And we read in 1 John the importance of truth and how it should behave in tandem with our actions. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Truth is essential in not just speech, but actions. And we're called to pair our actions with the truth that goes beyond lip service. So this poses the question, what is truth in a Christian sense, particularly in a world where the lines seem to be blurred more and more? Truth is consistent with God's mind, will, character, glory and being. Even more to the point, truth is the self-expression of God. That is the biblical meaning of truth, because the definition of truth flows from God. Truth is theological. God and truth are one in the same. Truth cannot exist outside of God, and God cannot exist outside of truth. Therefore, God is the author, source, determiner, governor, arbiter, and ultimate standard and final judge of all truth. Truth cannot exist without permission from God. You know, we heard this morning, Andy talked about the cornerstone, which was very, very interesting timing with this sermon that I was preparing, because when we think about that cornerstone is the biblical source of truth. That sets the standard for us that we build on it from a foundation perspective. And the direction of that truth is very important to us as Christians. The cornerstone is the baseline, and the cornerstone is the standard for truth in God. Drawing from John MacArthur's book, The Truth War, the one most valuable lesson humanity ought to have learned from philosophy is that it is impossible to make sense of truth without acknowledging God as the necessary starting point. God and truth cannot be separated. We must start with truth to understand the being of God. Without God, there is no truth. They are two in the same. That's how we establish the biblical standard. And righteousness is the biblical standard. So returning to that exchange between Pilate and Jesus, it's clear to us that truth was staring Pilate in the face. He just couldn't see it. In John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Truth is God, and God sets the standard for truth. So, in establishing the Godhead and truth as the same, Christians in turn have also responded to a gospel of truth. And that's why understanding truth and truth's role is critical to Christianity and the proclamation of the gospel. As we acknowledge that the gospel is true, it is understandable why the enemy seeks to destroy truth, and thus is the central focus of his campaign. We read in John chapter 8, verse 44, "He, Satan, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him." Satan hates truth. Satan wants to destroy truth. That's the central part to his campaign. Similarly, the world has abandoned truth and responsibility and placed them with self, rights, and feelings. And you will have heard a lot of these buzzwords that come across our desks these days. The widespread acceptance of homosexuality is against God's definition of marriage in truth and tries to redefine truth. The effect of further diluting truth now has our society telling our children that gender is fluid and not even linked to sex at birth. And worth mentioning as well, that gender is a modern invention. In direct rebellion with truth through God's created order, the enemy seeks to destroy truth. Furthermore, Planned Parenthood, under the guise of representing progressive women's rights, has resulted in 1.5 billion children being destroyed over the past 50 years. When we abandon truth and remove the standard God sets before us, this is the result. When the truth is subjective and no longer held to that biblical standard, it leaves man, a rebel by nature in the garden, as the sole authority on morality. In a sense, we start marking our own homework. This fulfills what Romans 1 says always happens when a society denies and suppresses the essential connection between God and truth. When we reject the truth, unrighteousness is the inevitable result. We see it happening today in every corner of contemporary society and replaced with a counterfeit truth. You know, there's a sermon that Gray spoke about many years ago, and one of his illustrations was around understanding the counterfeit and the way in which public servants or public agents who deal inside of the monetary systems of states or governments train their agents on how to identify counterfeit money or counterfeit bills. And the way they train them is they familiarize themselves with the real thing. They familiarize themselves with the actual bills. And so when they're intimate with those real bills, when a counterfeit comes across their desk, they know how to spot the flaws. They know how to spot those bills that are actually fake. And similarly, when we know truth and when we're intimate with truth, we're able to identify the lies. Because whenever the enemy is involved, confusion, not clarity, chaos, not order, is the outworking. Do things seem a little confusing in the news today? Do things seem a little chaotic in the news today? But we're not just dealing with a war of ideas, but a spiritual battle, as described in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We are in a battle in the heavens and the earth with regards to this. And this evening I want to focus on three key points in understanding, preserving, and defending the truth for us as Christians during these times. And my first point is encounter truth. You see, it was sometime around when Paul first traveled to Ephesus. And this was around about the early church. And they were starting to be called the Way, and they were starting to get some momentum and some traction as the early church. And Paul's heading to Ephesus, and he gets to Ephesus. And it's where he first hears this word Christian being used to represent the early church and those early followers of Jesus. And in essence, Christian is interpreted as little Christs. And this obviously became known as Christian more mainstream down the track. So with this understanding of the word Christian, we are called to be emulators of Christ. But so often that call of obedience can be disturbed when self and self on the throne moves us from being little Christs to little gods. And there's a key difference between those two. Because a little god becomes his or her own judge and interpreter of truth. This is, in essence, fundamental idolatry. False gods make up their own standard for truth, but Christians are called to follow Jesus as the ultimate truth, an example of the gospel to our neighbours as little Christ and as Jesus did. You know, often encountering truth can be uncomfortable and difficult to face, because when encountered, it can put in motion a transformation that removes self from the throne. No matter how uncomfortable, though, we must encounter truth. Nicole is a fantastic cook, and I'm on the receiving end of a lot of Nicole's nice meals. But Nicole and I have a pact, and that is that I will always be honest with Nicole's cooking. And this one time, Nicole decided to serve a dish that was called vegetarian lasagna. Now, the problem with vegetarian lasagna is it's not really lasagna, because lasagna has meat in it, am I right? And so it should be called something else entirely. It's a complete fake of lasagna, and it's missing probably the best part, which is the meat. Anyway, any vegetarians in here? Am I offending you? Probably. That's okay. So with regards to this agreement we have on Nicole's cooking, she cooked vegetarian lasagna for me this one time, and she asked, "Do you like it?" Now, this presents a predicament for most men, and I'll tell you why. If I tell Nicole what she wants to hear, and I say, "It's fantastic, love. I love it. It's beautiful. I'm going to get lasagna, vegetarian lasagna, for the next 20 years. So that's not going to work for me. But then if I tell Nicole the truth, she may very well be upset with me, because it's a free meal. Well, it's not a free meal. I paid for some of it. But you cook the meal for me, and therefore I should be grateful for the meal. And, you know, a meal I didn't cook is a good meal, right? But the truth is important. As uncomfortable as it is, the truth is important. Because if I set the standard for telling Nicole the truth, Nicole then knows that when she cooks a good meal and I compliment her, it's got authenticity behind it. It's the real deal. But that is a challenge for us because it can be uncomfortable. And encountering the truth is always the best long-term strategy for freedom and growth in Christ. You know, C.S. Lewis said it best, if you look for truth, you may find comfort in the end. If you look for comfort, you will not get either comfort or truth, only soft soap and wishful thinking to begin, and in the end, despair. Encountering truth is where freedom lies. And it may not always be comfortable and convenient, but it is in this obedience we find true freedom and wisdom in God. You know, one of my favorite encounters in the Bible is the story of Saul and his encounter on the road to Damascus. And the Saul to Paul transformation that takes place when he encounters the God of truth on the road. This encounter with the truth was so powerful, it affected every part of his being and his lifestyle, and he was truly born again and changed. And we can't understate this. This was Saul actively going out and harassing the early Christian church and pulling people from their houses. And he goes from that state, you know, like Richard Dawkins is nothing compared to what Saul was doing that day. He was actively going out and persecuting Christians. And then he encounters this moment of truth. And it turns his whole life on its head. Just unprecedented change. This encounter with the truth was so powerful, it affected every part of his being. Such is the power of truth that scales fall from our eyes. And we are no longer little gods as rebels in the garden, but reborn through God's truth and repentance through Jesus Christ. Pastor Graham printed a whole bunch of these magnets. They were really, really good. And I've got one on my fridge still. And if you've ever seen these magnets, it pretty much has a cross. And I'm going to bring it up here. I've done a bit of my own version for this evening and made some slight changes. I hope you don't mind. I hope it wasn't copyrighted. But essentially, you can see the transformation and you can see the representation under Satan. And then, obviously, once we're reborn through the cross, the juxtaposition of that through the cross. And we see that in Satan's camp, we have lies, entitlement, chaos, rights, and confusion. And when we encounter truth, and when we have an encounter with truth, we have sacrifice, order, responsibility, and certainty. And that's what truth brings to us. That's what truth brings to us in the power of the cross. So my second point is discerning truth. We discern truth through the Bible, and we are called to operate as Christians with the authority and instruction of the divine word of God. It is with this that we must test and hold up everything this world throws at us against the scriptures to prove, validate, and discern the truth. In its simplest definition, discernment is nothing more than the ability to decide between truth and lies, right and wrong. Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. In other words, the ability to think with discernment is the intention to think biblically. To identify truth, we must be intimate with it. You know, increasingly, I'm having more and more conversations with Christians who are denying truth in Scripture and abandoning its sovereignty, and infallibility. I hear comments like, it's just a bunch of stories. I'll accept this part, but I won't accept that part. Or it's no longer relevant. Or this part was cultural and that part's not cultural. Either the Bible is the divine word of God in its entirety, or it is just another historical text. There is no sitting on the fence when it comes to God's word. We must familiarize ourselves with the word of God so that truth is written on our hearts. Only then will we be ready for the spiritual battles in daily life. And if we're not writing the word of God in our hearts, what are we allowing to influence us? What are we listening to? What are we watching? Can we sit here right now and explain the difference between social justice and biblical justice? Do we know the difference? There's no mistake that truth is represented as a belt in Ephesians 6. truth plays a key part in standing against the enemy. It's hard to defend yourself when you can't keep your pants up. The belt of truth means you are ready to stand against the enemy. We must clothe ourselves in truth so we can discern clearly. We must know the truth to see the lie. In John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." My last point this evening is to defend and proclaim truth. As emulators of Christ, we are called not just to encounter and discern the truth, but defend and proclaim the truth through the gospel. We see in Christ's exchange with Pilate, as outlined earlier, that Jesus came into this world to testify the truth. "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. The reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth." We are called to testify to the truth. That's the proclamation. You know, recently I was on a business trip to Perth and I found myself with two colleagues having dinner on a weeknight, and we'd finished our meal, and it was on round about the time where the Roe judgment had come in from the States on abortion. And one of my colleagues said to me, he started the conversation, he said, "Hey Aaron, what's your position on abortion?" That's a polarizing question for us right now. That's a polarizing question for us right now. And I thought about it for a second. I thought, oh, I could deflect. I could deflect that question. Or I could answer that question truthfully. And we discussed things back and forth, and I made it abundantly clear that I believe that life is sacred. Every life is sacred. And it is sacred in the womb. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are knitted inside the womb, and God is intimate with us from conception. And as we continued down the discussion, it was fairly robust and respectful, but we came to the end of it, and it's worth mentioning as well, one of these colleagues is female and one of them is male. And their eyes were actually opened to the ludicrous nature of the position around abortion. And it was an amazing moment, not because of me, but because when we act in faith and when we're obedient in the word, God steps in. God steps in. And if you had said to me I would have a conversation with two atheists around abortion, and we would end up where they would all of a sudden have given more ground on their position post-discussion, I would have thought that was never even possible. That's how taboo those discussions are now in our society. You see, are we actively testifying to the truth in our workplaces, universities, marriages, schools, families, and with our neighbours? Are we defending the truth or leaving it to someone else to do? My goal this evening is that you would be encouraged and equipped to encounter, discern, and defend truth. That you may be emboldened and awakened for the battle that rages around us. And it's likely you may be hated for defending the gospel of truth. But we were told that. We were told the world would hate us because of Jesus. But in Jesus we operate in authority and in absolute truth. We are called to bear witness to the truth. And yes, it's never been riskier. And yes, it may cost you something. But to defend the truth and proclaim the gospel is a privilege, not a right. And we must defend and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ as the only truth and the only way. So how do we defend truth? We have to know the word of God. You know, we had an encounter night. I'm terrible with dates. I think it must have been the end of last year, the start of this year, and it was where Graham came and was a worship, not encounter night, it was a worship, well, it was an encounter night for the worship team, essentially, whereby we broke up into groups and we got prayer and we went into our specific circles. And I remember at that point in my walk, I was feeling very dry, and I was finding it hard to, for lack of a better way of saying it, go to the next level. And I had Al and Andy pray for me. And I said, I just want to go deeper. I just want to get a thirst for the word. Al and Andy prayed for me. And let me tell you, God will give you a thirst for the word if you ask him for it. God will give you a thirst for the word if you ask him for it. Because that's what happened in me. And we think about that road to Damascus moment where the scales fall from your eyes. That is the power of God in our lives, working in our lives. No matter where you are, he will meet you there. So getting that thirst for the word, knowing the scriptures intimately, and then being guided by the Holy Spirit. And then last but not least, having done all, stand in the defense of truth. John chapter 14, 16. And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and he is life. Jesus is freedom through the truth. I understand that this is a heavy message. And I wrestled with it. I did. It's far easier for me to make jokes, I assure you. But we live in an age where we are at war for truth. And we must respond to that in kind. Let's pray. Lord, we pray you would embolden each one of us, Father, with your word, with your grace, Lord. Help us take truth to wherever we find it, Father. Help us take truth into our workplaces, Lord, into our families, into our circumstances, Lord. Challenge us, Lord. May we be obedient in the pursuit of truth, Lord. And I pray right now for each one of us here that you would challenge us, Lord, to be obedient in your word, to be more obedient in your scriptures, Lord. I also pray for those conversations to be had, Lord, that are yet to be had. I pray that you would be a comfort to each one of us here, that you would send your Holy Spirit to comfort us in those conversations, Lord. That we may be obedient in following you, Lord. Amen.